promotional fee has been paid by the sponsor of this program. For its editorial content, statements, views, and beliefs expressed by the sponsor do not reflect those of WOKV or Cox Media Group.
The following hour is brought to you by Madden Advisory Services.
Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up-to-date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of subjects discussed. Discussions and answers to questions do not involve the rendering of personalized investment advice, but is limited to the dissemination of general information. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the options presented. Madden Advisory Services, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the SEC and only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempt from registration requirements.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now, Smart Money on News 104.5 WOKV. Here are your hosts, Hank Madden, Michelle Barron, and Brian Hughes.
Jacksonville, good morning. On a pre-patriotic day, July 4th weekend. Welcome to Smart Money. I'm Hank Madden.
I'm Michelle Barron.
And I'm Brian Hughes.
Yep, the whole first team is here. We're wishing all of you a very, very safe holiday week. Our first-time listeners, God bless you. Thank you for being here. Hope that you guys and gals will be able to make it for the full 2 hours today. As always, our regular listeners, you are the foundation upon which we build. God bless you. Thank you for your listening patronage. Folks, we are a Christian-based radio show, our firm, Madden Advisory Services, and in the conduct of our own life. Try to follow the principles in the Gospels of Christ. Now, I tell you that, not that we're going to sit here and preach to you today, but more importantly, I want you to know that we are individuals, a firm, and a show that stands for something, that we have a moral foundation upon which we are anchored. Today, we live in a country and a society that truly lacks any form of moral character. I was listening to a commentary, and they were quoting Aristotle, of all people, who said that you can define a culture and where they are by the music that they listen to. When I was a kid, I remember when Big Bad John came out, and the first edition was banned because it ended with, "At the bottom of the shaft lies one hell of a man," and they had to record it. Jimmy Dean did it. Today, you listen to music. It's not music. It is just a commentary of how vulgar can we get, how disgusting can we get. And that pretty much represents where our society is. So I want you to know that we do have morals and principles that will guide us. The show, what is it about? Well, two different things. We're going to bring you up-to-date news on the national and international basis. Sometimes we will go to a little different of a venue as we are today. I don't want to steal Michelle's thunder, but I've asked her if she would do the editorial. She has something that's really great. And then at the bottom of the hour, when I designed this show upteen decades ago, Brian, I think you were
not born. Even born yet.
But that's okay. Brian is the securities analyst for the firm and does an incredible job at it. But anyway, it was with you in mind, and so we're going to open up the lines to you and your questions. So get your financial questions up and ready. Topics today, we're going to focus on patriotism. Michelle, you want to give us some more insight?
Well, I think the best line is patriotism is not the waving of a flag. And I thought that was kind of catchy. It would be something that you would say.
Yeah, it is. And that's so true.
It's suspenseful there.
It's like Rick. I think Rick Warren is one of the new wave preachers, and he has. He says, "I now have a new form of Christianity. It's called Chrislam." He's taken Christianity and Islam, and he's put it together. There is no Christianity that's Chrislam or Chrislism. It's Christianity. But that's the problem with where we're at today. We have used too many intermediate symbols. Okay, G-Man, whip it on us.
Markets.
Markets.
So markets were down on the week. The S&P 500 lost 1.14%. We're at 2.65% positive now on the year. Trade has been and continues to be a main focus, and it will probably be, at least until we start getting into earnings in a few weeks. The White House toned down some of his trade rhetoric with plans to limit Chinese investments in the U.S. being scrapped in favor of a review process by the Committee on Foreign Investments in the United States, which I did not know there was a committee or that existed. But markets took that decision as a favorable one and as a victory for more moderate voices within the government. On one result of 2008 has been increased regulation and scrutiny on the banks.
You think?
And to say the least. And from that, we get these annual stress tests on them, and they just had it. For the most part, the banks fared well, though Deutsche Bank did fail completely, and others had a couple limits placed on them. But banks that passed were clear to use extra money for stock buybacks and dividends, which many of them announced that they would do last week. For example, Bank of America is increasing its dividend by 25% and buying back $20 billion worth of shares. Those are big numbers.
Yeah, they are.
And it's been 6 years, but inflation finally has hit the Federal Reserve target in May, coming in at 2%. Remember, the Fed has a dual mandate to keep unemployment and inflation within a target zone, and both are healthy levels right now. That supports the Fed continuing to raise interest rates through this year and into next, but hopefully they continue to do it in a slow and steady way.
Well, I'm going to tell you, along with trade, you're going to find Fed policy has been and is a main indicator. We've got a flattening of the curve with your short term, and they're not that far off from your 10-year rates now. I think, what, 14, 15 basis points, something like that?
Yeah, it's close. And the worry is that inverts and the 10-year has a lower yield than the 2-year.
Yeah.
But again, the hope is the Fed increases rates like we like our barbecue, slow and steady.
Slow and steady. Okay. Now, Michelle, let me tell you something before she begins this. Little do you know, with a lot of the things that we as individuals do, and particularly Michelle and her family, they are a strong military family. Her husband served our country for 20 years in the United States Navy on carriers, very hazardous job, very dangerous, and he served and served well. Michelle and her family today always honor our veterans, whether at Memorial Day, placing of the wreaths. She's always there making sure her daughter understands. Their son, Kyle, when he was younger, all participated. And so I thought it only fitting. She had called and said, "Hey, I found this article I think that you might want to use." And then when she told me more about it, and knowing Michelle, who she is and what she stands for, I thought, no, by golly, she needs to stand up. So Michelle, honey, it's all yours.
Well, I did find the article. It's not truly written by me, so you're not stealing my thunder. But it is the true meaning of patriotism. Patriotism is not the waving of a flag, and it is written by Lawrence Reed, who is the president of the Foundation of Economic Education. Interestingly, written in 2003, but I do think it is still very important today. Patriotism these days is like Christmas. Lots of people caught up in a festive atmosphere replete with lights and spectacles. We hear reminders about the true meaning of Christmas, but each of us spends more time and thought in parties, gift giving, and the other paraphernalia of a secularized holiday that we do deepening our devotion to the true meaning. So it is with patriotism, especially on Memorial Day in May, Flag Day in June, and Independence Day in July. Patriotism is not love of country, if by country you mean scenery. Amber waves of grain, purple mountain majesty, and the like. Almost every country has pretty collections of rocks, water, and stuff that people grow and eat. If that's what patriotism is all about, then Americans have precious little for which we can claim any special or unique love, and surely patriotism cannot mean giving one life for a river or a mountain range. Patriotism is not blind trust in anything our leaders tell us to do. That just replaces some lofty concepts of mindless goose-stepping. Patriotism is not simply showing up to vote. You need to know a lot more about what motivates a voter before you judge his patriotism. He might be casting a ballot because he just wants something at someone else's expense. Maybe he doesn't much care where the politicians he's hiring gets it. Remember Dr. Johnson's wisdom. Patriotism is the last refuge of a scoundrel. Waving the flag can be an outward sign of patriotism, but let's not cheapen the term by ever suggesting that it is anything more than a sign. And while it's always fitting to mourn those who lost their lives simply because they resided on American soil, that too does not define patriotism. People in every country and all times have expressed feelings of something we flippantly call patriotism, but that just begs the question, what is this thing anyway? Can it be so cheap and meaningless that a few gestures and feelings make you patriotic? Not in my book. I subscribe to a patriotism rooted in ideas that in turn gave birth to a country, but it's the ideas that I think of when I'm feeling patriotic. I'm a patriotic American because I reserve the ideas that motivated the founders and compelled them, in many instances, to put their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor on the line. What ideas? Read the Declaration of Independence again. Or, if you're like most Americans these days, read it for the very first time. It's all there. All men are created equal. They are endowed not by government, but by their Creator, with certain unalienable rights. Premier among those rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Government must be limited to protecting the peace and preserving our liberties, and in doing so, through the consent of the governed. It's the right of the free people to rid themselves of a government that becomes destructive of those ends, as our founders did in a supreme act of courage and defiance more than 200 years ago. Call it freedom, call it liberty, call it whatever you want, but it's the bedrock on which this nation was founded and from which we stray at our peril. It's what has defined us as Americans. It's what almost everyone who has ever lived on this planet has yearned for. It makes life worth living, which means it's worth fighting and dying for. I know that this concept of patriotism puts an American spin on the term. I can only tell you what patriotism means to me as an American. I understand that America has often fallen short of the ideas expressed in the Declaration. It hasn't diminished my reverence for them, nor has it dimmed my hope that future generations of Americans will be re-inspired by them. This brand of patriotism, in fact, gets me through the roughest and the most cynical of times. My patriotism is never affected by any politician's failures or any shortcoming of some government policy or any slump in the economy or stock market. I never cease to get the rush that comes from watching Old Glory flapping in the breeze, no matter how far today's generations have departed from the original meaning of those stars and stripes. No outcome of any election, no matter how adverse, makes me feel any less devoted to the ideals of our founders put to pen in 1776. Indeed, as life's experiences mount, the wisdom of what giants like Jefferson and Madison bestowed upon us becomes even more apparent to me. I get more fired up than ever to help others come to appreciate the very same things. During a recent visit to the land of my ancestors, Scotland, I came across a few very old words that gave me pause. It's not for honor or glory or wealth that we fight, but for freedom alone, which no good man gives up except with his life. Freedom. Understanding it, living it, teaching it, and supporting those who are educating others about its principles, that, my fellow Americans, is what patriotism should mean to each of us today.
That was a fantastic commentary on it. It just really summed up where and who and what we are and what so many are willing to give up. Okay, we're going to take a short information timeout. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV 1020. Did you know?
Did you know? According to Wallet Hub, 27% of Americans will purchase patriotic merchandise for the 4th of July holiday that's coming up in a few days. So what's the most popular patriotic merchandise? Stay tuned in to find out. You're listening to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Smart Money time is 10:24. Did you know?
Did you know 62% of Americans own an American flag? The American flag industry is estimated to generate $150 million in total sales, with the biggest season for sales being April, May, and June.
I thought you were going to say Albert wrapped in an American flag, holding Albert one and shooting off Roman candles.
I thought she was going to say fireworks, which would have gone along with the Roman candles.
You don't like Albert wrapped in an American flag, holding one? And Michelle doesn't even know who Albert
is. I know who Albert is.
The alligator from the Florida Gators.
I knew that.
Yes. So
I only knew that because we used to hide them from you.
Oh, that's true. That's true. She and Dee Dee would go around and take all of my gator paraphernalia, and they would hide it. It's very destructive, very demoralizing.
It's just rude.
Well, it is. It's disrespectful, I might add. Oh,
we would hide her Alabama stuff, but she don't have any.
Yeah. There was. I was listening to commentary about the times that we live in, and what we have done as far as Christians. And I'm not preaching to you. This just the rationale just really got me. I think it was New Mexico has banned teachers from having a Bible on their desk, lest a student pick it up and read from it, and it might permanently damage them for life. I'm sure they could pick up the Koran or God knows any smut magazine and go for that. But all right, I want to get back to the economy and what's happening with it right now. Folks, you've got two aspects. You've got the surface chatter and clutter that has an immediate knee-jerk reaction to the market. And then you've got, most importantly, the underlying economy and the businesses that make up that economy. That's truly the engine that pushes it forward. And in the 43 years I've been in practice, this is the best economy that we have ever been in. Even, some will say, what about Reagan's economy? Yeah, that was good, but there was also a lot of smoke and mirrors in there created with the tax reform. ACRS, Accelerated Cost Recovery System. I know you remember that one in great detail, Brian.
Oh, yeah. Studied it when I was two.
But today, what was the beat rate for the second quarter? Was it 80? Was it 80%?
I don't know what it was exactly. It was high 70s or 80, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
It was a high number.
And then the earnings average was 84%.
Yeah, and then coming into this quarter,
24%.
One of the things is always right before earnings, everyone revises down. Right. But the negative revisions this time are much lower, much less negative revisions than normal.
Yeah.
And so GDP, it was revised down in the first quarter to 2%, but there's a lot of people calling for 4% GDP in the second quarter.
Yep.
So it's picking up, you know.
Much to the dismay of Barack Hussein Obama, who we don't fall down and worship as King Nebuchadnezzar, I think that's how you pronounce his name. he demanded. Well, we're not going to do that for Obama. But anyway, the underlying economy, and we can pick this up on the other side, is as solid as a rock. So don't get caught up in the daily chatter of the market. Frankly, that's just creating more of a buy time for us, an excellent buy time. I think the second half of the year is going to be pretty strong because of all the fundamentals that are in place. There, you can't change them. And if you're, what you need to do, if you look at the companies that make up the various indexes, look at the leaders and look where their earnings and strengths are. There's some tremendous, tremendous growth out there. And look for strong growth. We're in a growth style now, not a value style. Okay, folks, that is the signal. That's right. Get your dialing pen and finger out. Lines are open, 340-1045. That's right, you can give us the finger with the finger on the dial. 340-1045. And it's a beautiful Mystic Minx will tell you area code 904. We're going to bring you up to date Fox National News, local weather, traffic patterns for the Jacksonville area, and then to you and your calls. So, did you know?
Did you know the Flag Manufacturers Association of America proudly sponsors the Certified Made in the USA certification program to ensure that American flags you purchase are homegrown with pride? Stay tuned in to find out what percentage of flags are actually certified made in the USA. You're listening to Smart Money, brought to you by Matted Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You are listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Yes, lines are open, 340-1045. That's 340-1045. And as the beautiful, exotic Mystic Minx will tell you, that is area code 904. Did you know?
Did you know, according to the Flag Manufacturers Association of America, 95% of U.S. flags are manufactured entirely in the United States? That means the flag has been made in the USA of materials that are domestic in origin, and that all processes and every step of its manufacture were completed in USA facilities with USA labor.
That's super duper. Now, what we were talking about, is that part of your did you knows?
Yeah, you'll have to wait until later.
Folks, she's got one coming up that I can't believe it, but it's amazing to me, absolutely amazing that it's even an issue. Okay, Wesley, East Arlington. Yo.
My question, I've been talking to my attorney for about,
that's dangerous.
About a year. Well, no, he's a good guy. He's like y'all. He's like y'all. He loves the Lord. He has principles and morals, and he practices his law. His practice is long-term relationships like y'all's. Anyway,
right.
My question: I've been encouraging him to consider buying and holding physical gold. I said to him, "Look, you need to buy some gold," and I'm about $100,000 a year. He's about a $200,000 a year. And I wanted to know your recommendation for if somebody has that kind of lifestyle, $200,000 a year, and he's got a good practice, what amount of physical gold, if any, would you recommend that he hold?
Okay, let me, if I might, Wesley, let me back up. May I ask you a question?
Sure.
What is the driving force behind you that says I should own and hold physical gold?
For years, I have been looking at the macroeconomic thing, going all the way back to Larry Burkett's book that he wrote called The Coming Economic Earthquake. And I've always tried to guide my financial life by the Bible And I am aware that we have a responsibility to be faithful stewards of what the Lord's put into our hands. And I believe that in an equation where we cannot control the supply of money, and when we have a private, non-auditable central bank that is printing more, that we should have some percentage of our assets that the Lord has entrusted us with in physical gold that we know will always have some store of value and some exchangeability, because I believe, like we suffered after the war between the states and the Germany suffered after World War One, leading up to World War Two, that money will not always be worth something, and that we need to guard against that potential eventuality.
Okay. I'm not a big believer in holding physical gold, although my wife is.
In the form of jewelry.
For a different reason.
Yeah, for different reasons.
She likes to wear the physical gold.
Yeah. Here's what, and then I'm going to let Michelle and Baron, or Michelle and Brian get in here. It's easy to buy the physical asset. Very easy. The problem is getting rid of it. If you go to your pawn shops, man, you're looking at 30-40% hit on it. And then you start negotiating. You go back to the dealers who sold it to you, and they want an arm and a leg to buy it back, if in fact they will buy it back. So the secondary market on it, at best, is a challenged market. I want to have the investment characteristics of the precious metals, and I'm going to give you an alternative to that in just a second, but I want to have the high marketability that I can trade it at the drop of a hat. Therefore, we will go to ETFs, exchange-traded funds, that will hold the certificates of the gold and or shares in the mines that produce the gold. And then we're very, right now, I don't think we're going over 3%.
Yeah, not much.
Yeah. Now, there is something, to me, it's a better asset, but you've got to have some bucks to do this. And that is very, very high grade, like S1, diamonds. Diamonds are not as volatile. Matter of fact, diamonds have not been going down in value. They have been going up in value. And your serious money will tell you that, yeah, I'd rather hold diamonds than I had gold or silver. So with that, I'm going to shut up. Brian, Michelle, have at it.
I mean, I think the way that we look at gold is a little different than the way that you're looking at gold, whereas we're looking at it as an investment and how it complements other investments. And so the reason that we believe that people should hold things like gold is because it just acts different than a stock does, and it acts different than a bond does. And so if I think of things just very simply, and a lot of people have heard me say this, as I'm going to hold this investment to either make me money or I'm going to hold this investment to reduce my risk. Gold's not something that you think is going to make you money. It's there to reduce your overall risk because it acts different than a stock and it acts different than a bond. And so we do hold commodities in our portfolios, but as a way to reduce the overall risk of a portfolio, not necessarily because we're worried about, you know, the dollar. And you mentioned it's the Fed printing money, but it's the Treasury who's demanding the Fed by the outsized budget that we keep running.
So, and I'll tell you what, you know, if you're really concerned about, who is it, Mama Jug or Jug or something like that, the end of the world, it's beans and bullets, buddy, that are going to be the next median of exchange. Do you have a stockpile of ammunition?
The only other thing that I'll add to that is we didn't bring up the aspect of potentially maybe purchasing gold coins to pass on to family members. I do think that could be an aspect to consider. I think it's a pretty neat thing. if you can keep it in your family for generations to come. But again, I would agree with the guys as far as the investing is concerned. And even if I were doing it to pass on generation to generation, I would keep it limited of my overall portfolio size.
Well, I can see why your show is called Smart Money. That's a wonderful answer. Thank you so much.
Well, God bless, Wesley. Just curiosity, what percentage of your portfolio is in the hard metals?
It's about 27%.
Whoa, my friend.
That's pretty big.
That is really, really big. You might want to just sit back and rethink that.
Okay.
That's just a suggestion on our part.
I understand. Thank you so much for what you do.
Okay. God bless. Take care.
Okay.
All right. Milton, we're going to get your question set up. I really like the question, and then we're going to have to take a short break and get right back to answering it. Is that okay with you?
Hello?
Milton. Yes, Milton.
Yes, sir.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So is it okay if we get your question set up and then come back and answer it?
I'll be here.
Okay. So tell us, your question is what?
What is predatory insurance?
Okay. And what do you mean by predatory?
Well, someone was telling me that there's frivolous lawsuits. People who have money, they tried frivolous lawsuits, and I was advised I need to get predatory insurance.
Okay. All right. You're talking about now, talking about liability.
And I have no clue what they were talking about.
Okay. Well, with your permission, I'm going to put you on hold, and then we're going to come back and talk about it and why that is so important. And I can even give you a personal story myself. So hang tight. Okay, folks, we're going to take a short information timeout, and then we're going to be right back to you and your questions. Again, lines are open, 340-1045. That's 340-1045. And as the exotic My Summer Princess Mystic Minx will tell you, area code 904. Did you know?
Did you know, even though the United States produces 95% of the American flags that we consume, we also actually import American flags from another country? Stay tuned in to learn the value of U.S. flags we import and from who. You're listening to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Smart Money time is 10:50. Did you know?
Did you know in 2016, the U.S. imported $5.3 million worth of American flags? Probably not that surprising. The vast majority of those imports came from China.
I would have thought the Canary Islands. I'm being facetious. Okay. Milton. Milton.
Yes.
I know you're there. Hey,
yeah.
Bud, how are you?
Good. Now, I spoke to you folks last week, but I had to leave to go to work.
Yes, so I remember now.
We weren't able to finish the conversation.
But
since then, I was talking to someone, and I thought because I had an LLC and a 501(c), I was pretty much protected against predators, but the guy told me, you better think it over. You better look into what predatory insurance is.
Okay, folks. Predatory insurance is really code name for liability coverage. Now, a lot of folks would say, if I have to buy some, I will. Milton, here is a true story about me. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. When the weekend comes, I am not going to wash boats, wash cars, cut grass, rake leaves, pressure wash the house, and any other of a number of mundane tasks. I want to be able to enjoy all of my resources then. And if I can afford to pay somebody else, I'm going to do it. So I have somebody that once a month comes and pressure washes the boat. Well, I get a call in the office. And the guy on the other end of the line says, hi, Mr. Madden, this is Aaron. I'm your boat cleaner. And I need to let you know you've got and this is somebody who was born and raised and ran through the woods here in Florida, right?
Yeah.
So he says, you've got a pygmy rattlesnake in your driveway. Now, pygmy rattlers, for those that don't know, they're not very big, 18 inches, probably a big one. But they are extremely aggressive and very, very potent. And I told him, heck no, I want you to beat the thing to death. Kill it. You know, with boat washers, you'd think they'd have long poles and sticks. So that'd be easy to do. And he said, you sure? And I said, absolutely. Well, about 45 minutes later, I get another call. And this time it's from his wife. And she identifies herself and says that, well, my husband is in the hospital. And I thought, oh, my gosh, what? You know, I'm thinking terrible things. He fell off the boat. Any number of things can happen around the water. And she said, well, she said the snake bit him. And I'm thinking, okay, they're using big sticks. They're going to beat this thing to death. How in the world could the snake bite him? And I said, so what happened? And she said, well, he was moving the snake. And I said, well, that's not what I told him to do. I told him to kill the dadgum thing. And she said, yeah, but he didn't. He felt sorry for him, but he doesn't now. And he had a small stick and was trying to push it into a bucket so he could move it. And the stick broke, his hand went forward, and he got hit on the tip of his finger by one fang. Well, that one fang took 12 vials of venom or anti-venom to get it to stop. That's just how potent they are. And I'm really sorry. And she said, yeah, an insurance company says we're going to have to sue you. And I said, what? She said, yeah. I said, but you didn't do what I told you. And she said, well, that may be, but the insurance company said they're suing you. So I said, okay, fine. So I call up my carrier, USAA, and say, hey, this is what happened. The guy left and said, well, don't worry. It'll probably cost about $1,000 or so. Now, I was lucky. Had he lost an arm or a hand, which can easily happen from these types of bites, it could have really gotten up into some serious money. But we were covered. Even if it had, we carry a very large amount of liability coverage. So the point of this is that somebody could be walking through your yard and trip over a hose. That's great for if you got a business or something, but now they're going after something that happened to them on your property. So yes, liability coverage. You're going to spend more time. I'm seeing his head popping up. You're going to spend more money on beer and pizza in a year than it will cost you for $1 million. Now, Brian.
So what he's talking about is an umbrella liability policy, and they're cheap, and we recommend to get them.
Yeah, right now I carry 100,000, 300,000, 1 million odd on my automobiles, but I never thought about.
Yeah, and so the way the umbrella works is it requires you to have a minimum level of insurance on different things, and it kicks in if you get sued above and beyond what your other liability insurance covers. So you will have a portion of liability insurance even on your homeowner's insurance. But if you get sued for something above and beyond that, then your liability insurance your umbrella policy would kick in. That's why they're cheap, because it forces you to exhaust the other sources first. And every time you write the check, you hate it. And you're like, why am I writing this stupid check? But if you ever need it, you're going to love it.
Yeah, and that check isn't that big to write.
Right.
In the scheme of things.
So why hasn't anybody ever mentioned this to me? I mean, I've been around all sorts of financial people for
It depends on their education.
Well, you didn't come talk to us.
Well, I'm talking to you now. I realize all these people I'm talking to know less than I do.
Well,
I worked for First American National Securities years ago, selling mutual funds for my wife's old life insurance under the old A.L. Williams.
Yeah, yep.
And I thought I got myself pretty well educated, but I've been out of it since 2005, and I don't know anything anymore.
Well, life insurance and liability are not the same thing.
I know, but I got into the different.
Yeah, that's property and casualty. And you also, and all that, you know, I'm saying this kind of tongue in cheek, but I'm very serious at the same time. You got to look at, who's giving you the advice. CFP, Certified Financial Planners, one of the areas that we have to certify in is risk management. And there's a large portion of that time that discusses various liability issues and how to deal with those. And here's something to think about. Now, all you other listeners out there, a lot of you are going to claim a low deductible. Don't do it. In most cases, you're not going to file. If you've got a $700-$800 fender bender, probably not going to claim it because your policy will go up. So put $1,000 in what you'll for your deductible, and what you save could easily cover the cost of that million-dollar umbrella. Milton, that's the magic signal that I got to go. Buddy, did we answer your question for you?
Yeah, but, you know, I would like you to mention to people that my grandfather taught me years ago about the Christian principles for saving.
Yep.
First 10% goes to God, next 10% yep. goes to you, and live on 80. You'll never be broke.
No, you won't. And I'll be glad to mention that. God bless, my friend. Okay. Folks, we have to take an information timeout, but we're also going to take one where we give you some even in-depth information. That's right, Fox National News, local weather, traffic patterns for the Jacksonville area. And then we're back to you and your questions. Lines are open, 340-1045. That's 340-1045. As my beautiful Mystic Minx will tell you, area code 904, did you know?
Did you know the U.S. actually exports U.S. flags to other countries? Stay tuned in to learn the value of the American flags that we actually export and just who's buying the largest quantity. You're listening to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV.